Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Before you know it, the Tupelo Public School District will be opening its doors to start the 2026-27 academic year. But on behalf of Dr. Rob Piku and the Board of Trustees, we'd like to say thanks for a fantastic 2025-26 year. Lots to celebrate and be proud of. Go Wave!
What's up, everybody? Welcome in Sunday night after a successful weekend in baseball and in football recruiting. Also, the Heritage was today. I know you guys were locked in, as I was, to Scottie Scheffler v. Matt Fitzpatrick. No, I'm kidding. We won't talk about that tonight. But I'm so glad that you guys are here. We are going to talk about football recruiting. The momentum just has not gone anywhere for Ole Miss football. I think there's a larger conversation to be had about that, and also baseball gets a series win in Knoxville. Today didn't go particularly great, but that's okay. They went up there and they got two, and now with 12 games to go in conference play, I mean, I think Ole Miss just has to go 500 and you're hosting a regional. I mean, it's really that simple. They have completely flipped. Let's see. Hold on. 3, 6, 9, 12. That's exactly right. I did do the math correctly earlier. Had a little mini, wait, did I actually count correctly? I do that all the time with the garage. I will leave the house and have to turn around to make sure I shut the garage. Just did that there. But with 12 conference games to go, I think because of what Ole Miss has done in the last 3 weeks, a 500 record or better, a 500 record or better will host a regional in Oxford. And think about saying that after they got swept by Mississippi State. So an awesome turnaround for Ole Miss. And so we will talk about that as well on this edition of the podcast. My name is, of course, Michael Borky. I'm so glad that you are here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating. If you like what you hear anyway, leave a rating and a review also right here on YouTube as well. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. As promised, I did a draft preview. I will cut the Ole Miss exclusive conversation out of that and bring that to you guys this week as kind of like a special edition. And we will go live on Thursday when the draft ends. I know that we don't expect any Ole Miss player to go in the first round, but still, I'm just going to wait till the end of the first round. I want to watch it all. I'm a big NFL guy. And so we'll go live. It'll probably later Thursday, but we're going to go live on Thursday after the draft. And so, yeah. See you guys then. Also, this edition of the show is brought to you by Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They've got everything under one gigantic roof for all of your home improvement needs. Also, the cheapest beer, like in Northeast Mississippi. I'm not kidding. There's no hyperbole in that statement. A great selection of boots and clothes and fishing and stuff for the farm to feed your animals, home furnishings, home improvement. And also, most importantly, the tractor or lawnmower that you need. Whether you are a pro or a farmer or just somebody with a yard like me, at Scruggs and Saltillo, they've got deals for you. 0% financing for 36 months on all commercial mowers. 0%, 36 months, all John Deere commercial mowers. Also, 1.9% for 36 months on all John Deere Gators, which are awesome. If you have any kind of property at all, or just want to bring the kids around in the neighborhood, you want a Gator. It's a fine piece of equipment, better than the car that I drive. And for anything like the big stuff, the heavy lifting, 0% for 72 months on all compact tractors and select 5 series, all John Deere at Scruggs in Saltillo. The offers are valid through the end of the month, so don't wait. Visit 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo. Again, right outside it. I mean, right there on the border of Tupelo there. At Scruggs, they have what you want for less. And when you go, don't forget to tell them that it was me that sent you there. All right, so let's start football recruiting, because I think there's a larger conversation to be had. Especially, I spent the weekend, I was at a wedding in Natchez, which was a beautiful wedding, beautiful venue. They did an incredible job planning and all that stuff. But there was a lot of Ole Miss people at the wedding. And everybody that I talked to about Ole Miss sports, the vibes, if you will, were incredibly high. about football. And that is quite an accomplishment when you think about where things were in late November. But first, let's talk about the recruit. So they added Keyshawn Taylor from Rockford, Illinois. He's a four-star edge, the number 26 edge in the country, number 13 player in the state of Illinois, committed to Ole Miss just yesterday over the weekend. He now becomes the fourth four-star in Ole Miss's recruiting class. So of the five players that have profiles in their recruiting class, four of the five are blue chip prospects. And as you guys know already, the blue chip index, there's only a very small number of programs in the country that have a blue chip index of greater than 50%. And there's never been a national champion to have a blue chip index of less than 50% until this year in Indiana. So it is a very good indicator of the kind of talent that you're bringing in. And I mean, I think this is a multi-year thing with Randall Joyner. This is the third four-star defensive lineman. So of the four blue chip prospects, three of them are on the defensive line. One of them from Memphis, one from Ackerman, and then one, of course, out of state from Illinois. As long as Randall Joyner and Pete Golding are at Ole Miss, your front six recruiting is going to be just fine. I mean, you've got a many-year sample size of that. It's only April. High school recruiting in April is what it is. You got to take everything with a grain of salt. But the foundation that they are building in this recruiting class is just so very solid. And they've got doing it this way is so valuable with this position group in particular, because as you've seen multiple years now in the transfer portal, where would Ole Miss be defensively? Where would they have been last year? And where would they be this year if they did not have success high school recruiting, specifically in the front six on the defensive line? It is so valuable, because if you lose those guys, and you do, it's the portal era, you are going to lose players. Everybody does. But as we've talked about, the local guys in particular are far less likely to leave. But there's just not that many great line of scrimmage players available via transfer portal. And the ones that do hit the portal are very, very expensive on top of it all. So the foundation they're building is outstanding. This recruiting class so far, again, four of five in the blue chip index, that is really great. This class is shaping up to be a really good one. And that turns into the larger conversation about, I feel like such an old man when I use this word, because like it is, I'm not cool. I probably never was cool, but I know I'm not cool now. And so when I use the word vibe, I feel dumb. Like I cringe. It's like, ugh, who am I trying to be here? But the vibe, the momentum, the feeling around the football program is completely unchanged. And think about that for a second. You have Ole Miss fans across the state and across the country that have not changed their feeling about the direction and the prowess of their football program despite what happened. If you would have come to me at the beginning of last season and you would have told me, okay, Ole Miss is going to make the playoff, Lane Kiffin's going to take another job and he will not coach the playoff, what happens next? I would not have told you. My response would not have been, I'm just being honest with you, Kewon Lacy sticks around, Trinidad sticks around, Deuce Alexander sticks around, that defensive line sticks around, Perkins, Eccles, et cetera. Those guys don't come. It sure wouldn't have been that on top of the number two transfer portal class. Wouldn't have believed that either. Wouldn't have believed that they would have beaten Georgia. Would not have believed that they would be setting up a recruiting class that looks like this right now. I would not have believed that they would be in this position considering the chaos that was the end of last season. I wouldn't have bought that. And so to see this unfold is extremely impressive, and it speaks to foundation. People use that word a lot, building a foundation within a program. There is such great value in what Ole Miss has built beyond what one coach was able to do. Structure, infrastructure is really what I should say. University leadership, athletic director leadership, all that has allowed for all of this to continue despite the aforementioned Lane Kiffin departing before the playoff. And so now the next key, of course, is to go win games. As I said with the Clemson deal, you know, Clemson fans love Dabo calling out tampering in late January when he hasn't lost by five touchdowns in Baton Rouge. But when they start losing games again, none of the offseason stuff matters. Said that about Brian Kelly a couple of years ago when he talked about, we're not going to be a program that buys players. Well, yeah, of course, you know, the fans and the media there ate that up because it was April. And it's easy to say that now until you go lose games. And then he lost games and they rightfully fired him. Similar here. Yes, Pete Golding is winning the offseason. Player retention, transfer portal class, now setting up a recruiting class. Staff looks outstanding. The feeling, the vibes, the energy around the program not only has not lost any momentum, it almost feels like it's still gaining momentum. Like it's still on an upward trajectory despite everything that happened. All of that goes out the window if you don't win games this fall. But the fact that we are having the conversation that we're having right now in April as they're wrapping up spring practice and you've got so many positions solidified in the feelings, in the attention, in the vibes, in the recruiting, in the player retention, all of that going on right now is a direct testament to not just Pete Golding, but to the program in and of itself. And past me would not have believed you if you told me that this was present Ole Miss football. Now you got to go to Nashville and beat Louisville and make this count. But the fact that we're having this conversation this offseason, it's just super impressive. And it should not be lost on you guys that this is what the conversation is about the program versus what it could have become had Keith Carter not done what he did, had Pete Golding not done what he did, et cetera, et cetera. So really good stuff, really positive stuff happening with your program right now. Podcast brought to you in part by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance. Anywhere in Mississippi, he will take care of you for auto, home, life, or insurance for your business. So again, auto, home, life, or business insurance anywhere in Mississippi. He wants you to give him a call. Even if you have insurance, it's a five-minute phone call. He could save you money, give you a better service on top of it all. 601-823-3500. 601-823-3500. Tell him it was me that sent you. Again, even if you don't quote-unquote need insurance, I've seen what the rates are elsewhere. I see that they're going up for everybody. It's worth the phone call. Give Logan Smith a call. Get a great quote. Get a great service. And, of course, again, tell them that it was me that sent you. I see some comments about baseball, so we'll get to those. Ole Miss, just a really nice series win, though. I mean, they are offensively just so much more competent than they were before. Today got away from them a little bit on the mound, but Hunter Elliott locked in and pitched well. After, again, he's not able to get off the mat that well this season. It's almost like he has to get like punched in the face to wake up a little bit, but he was great. And then Townsend was absolutely awesome. One hit in six complete, struck out seven, walked two, obviously did not give up a run. And Ole Miss goes to Knoxville, the inventors of college baseball, the people that ESPN should send flowers to for putting college baseball on the map. Ole Miss goes up there and disrespectfully wins too. But no, seriously, that's just a really solid series win. And they've got all kinds of momentum right now. The conversation has flipped so much where it's gone from, oh no, this could get out of hand, to the dumb guy thought that I had driving home from the wedding today was, I hope they're not peaking too early. I mean, that seriously though, That's how quickly they have flipped the momentum of this season, winning two in Gainesville, sweeping LSU, winning two in Knoxville. It's just super impressive. It's almost like, I mean, Mike Clement on a different platform talked about changing the offensive approach, and I asked Brad Henderson about it on the radio show on Friday, and yeah, they're starting to do – I mean, he mentioned in particular just taking outside pitches and sending them the opposite way. Just little simple baseball things like that is the way Henderson described it to me. And you knew they were more talented than what they were producing. Something was amiss. Well, Seems like they have figured that out. Georgia can hit the shit. Forget my language on a Sunday night. Georgia offensively is super explosive. This is going to be a big test for this really good, super good Ole Miss pitching staff. But Georgia can really hit it. Most explosive offense possibly in the country. And they'll really test Ole Miss this weekend. But don't count this team out. They have shown you that there's no reason to. So good stuff there as well. Read some of your comments. Not going to stay up too late, just being honest with you guys tonight, but I'll read your comments after I tell you the podcast brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every day. Local loan servicing, decision-making, somebody that you sit down with face-to-face at one of their 16 locations here in Mississippi. Also a great online banking platform. It's what they do. It's in the name. Switch and bank with me at Priority One Bank. And also Advantage Business Systems, absms.com, for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. If you need tech in the office, absms.com is where you get it. Late? I was not late. I was not late. I hit live right at 9:01. So, yeah, I was late. Aiken, South Carolina watching. Good to see you. Good to see you, Jeffrey Borky, after dark. Yeah, especially Thursday. Yeah, it'll be late. Although I'm so happy that the NFL has taken 2 minutes off of every draft pick. They have cut literally an hour off of the first round of the draft. So that's a good call because it was just dragging, taking forever. So 10-8 was not what you expected the record to be at this time when they were 3-6 going to Gainesville, 4-7 before Uttermark's home run. I mean, you said it at the time, Uttermark's home run might have changed the season. Imagine if he strikes out there. What are we talking about if he strikes out there? Probably not this. Don't think they need to tinker with the lineup again. They probably weren't going to win today anyways, but they had it figured out already. Yeah, didn't love that, and I guess it's easy to say that in hindsight, but you found something that works now. Rave had been stellar all season, and he finally got tagged for a bunch today. He'll bounce back. Yeah, I'm not concerned about him at all. It was going to happen, especially in that Mickey Mouse ballpark too. They did a great job with the renovation. It looks beautiful. They did a really good job there. Doesn't make it any less of a Cracker Jack box. But yeah, he got touched today. He'll be fine. What's up with the basketball transfer portal? Do they have anyone yet? Remember last year's portal started out the same way. Yeah, we'll do when the portal is going to close and we'll do a more deep dive into the class once it starts rounding out a little bit. But so far not good. Just being transparent, it doesn't mean the team won't be good. It doesn't mean they won't close good or anything like that. I mean, it's very easy to say things long before a season begins. So, but no, if you're anything but disappointed, I just would disagree. I think it's not good. It can be good, but yeah, part of me wonders if when Coach Yo's done with her roster, they can send her down to the men's hall and see if she can help pull in the class because she seems to not have much issue recruiting to Ole Miss basketball. I know ESPN talked about this offseason that Ole Miss doesn't have any resources and you know, Chris Beard could be looking to jump somewhere that has a bigger budget, even though look at Ole Miss's budget, because that's been FOIA'd. They sure as hell invest in basketball at Ole Miss for ESPN to be writing about how the budget's not good and the resources aren't good. Because apparently the other side, with no modern history to speak of, can get players just fine. So it's a little callous, forgive me, but I was so off put by that reporting. And I mean, I don't know where it came from, but I do know that it's just such a false narrative that Ole Miss does not put resources into basketball, because you can quite literally point to them like that, like the information exists, and to have that be the public narrative about what you guys have done for basketball it's lazy is what it is. This recruiting staff is outstanding. Yeah, they absolutely are. And they're not close to being done yet either. With Golding, his staff, and how Ole Miss has handled NIL rev share with the Grove Collective, many fans should be comfortable about recruiting high-level players without a doubt. Been in the hospital since yesterday and gets very boring here, so I've been looking forward to this all day. Chaney, I hope you're okay. Hope you're okay. We'll be thinking about you. I'm glad you feel good enough to be here. But, yeah, we'll be thinking about you. Get well soon, my friend. I think that Nashville game versus Louisville will be packed to the gills with Ole Miss fans, like a celebration moving into the Golding era. Most would expect a win in that game, too. Yeah, Louisville's going to start out ranked, though. I mean, so many people are just pointing directly to September 19th. They've got a challenge in front of them first with Louisville. I'm telling you, don't go there. I mean, and if they go up there and kick Louisville's, you know what? That's a really good sign. It'll be one of those things where I try to be as consistent as possible. I'm going to spend the offseason telling you that Louisville is going to be a difficult opponent. So if Ole Miss goes up there and they win by a lot, I'm not going to be like, Louisville, whatever, and be dismissive. No, that's a quality opponent to start the season. And I agree with you, though. I mean, I don't think I've talked to a single person that's like, nah, I'm not going to Nashville. I don't want to go to that game. So, yeah, it's a shame that the new stadium's not ready yet, but at least it'll be at night. For the last few weeks, the baseball offense still has those core issues we've talked about over and over, but they are actually making better contact and stretching pitchers. And really, that's all we were asking for them to do, right? Was, you know, you don't have to be the best offense in America. You don't have to. You just have to produce something with your pitching staff. You'll be fine. So, biggest actual question for the team right now is, where are they going to find some quality bullpen arms further down the pen? Using Hooks and Calhoun multiple times left some questioning. Especially when regional play comes and you have to consider the possibility of playing a fourth game. Why do so many keep trying to compare the Golding hire to the Arnett hire? They are not even close to the same thing. It's wish casting is what that is. Because, yeah, it's wish casting. It's your take on Lane trolling the women's softball team, all while LSU baseball team suck and their basketball team is playerless, zero players on the men's team, not to mention the signing. Yeah, no, I mean, what I would encourage you guys to do, and I know it's hard because it ends up like in your algorithm and stuff, is just mute him so you can't see it, because it's obvious that I mean, he's always been a troll, right? It's his thing. It's not like this is new, although I do think it's different now. It's changed a little bit. Or maybe it hasn't, I don't know. But the, I mean, he already went after Coach Yo, right? And now it's softball, and it's just, just try your best to ignore it, because that's the type of person that just desperately craves the attention. And so if you give it to him, it validates him. And I mean, it's the same thing. When that game comes, like, I don't mean don't create a great environment and stuff like that, but it would validate him if that turns into what happened in Knoxville in 2021. People would get to points, say, see, that's why he, look and see, he left that. Look at how awful that is. It would be validating. It would affirm the way things went down at the end of the season. It would turn him from the quote unquote bad guy and make you the bad guy. If you turn it into what happened in Knoxville, throwing stuff on the field, things like that, there has got to be a concerted effort, I think, from Ole Miss people to not turn the game into what happened in Neyland. Because then again, that justifies everything that he's done. If you behave like that, it justifies everything that he's done. You can't let that happen. Tennessee's a quality tournament team. It's a great series win on the road. Now they get some wiggle room while also having a top eight seed potential if they keep playing with confidence. Yeah, I mean, gosh, Tennessee went to Starkville and swept last week. That right field wall at Tennessee is embarrassing. Yeah. Now the staff has gotten high-level players. Just hope they can retain ones they develop. Princely, you leaving really hurt. Well, he got drafted last year. Prince Will, I'm just picking on you. I know it's confusing. But, yeah, he's a good player. He's a good player. He's not perfect. I think that they can be fine there in his absence. But it is the portal era, Patriot Rebel. You are going to lose players, especially when a coach leaves. But the fact that it was only four, only two of which were starters, one of which you were recruiting over, is it a big deal? You say you hope they can retain players. They did that. They did a very good job of that, an excellent job of that. You're never going to keep 100% of your roster in this era, but what they did was super impressive. If you had to guess the losses, who would be? Okay. Let me tell you, if I had to guess the losses right now, you guys aren't going to like this. My right now in April, I think that they will go 9-3. Three of four of these games at Florida, at Texas, Georgia, at Oklahoma. Why at Florida? Because it's the week after LSU. Bissetta and Unimark hitting two different back-to-backs is quite the spectacle. And didn't Bissetta Grand Slam feel like it was coming as soon as they loaded up the bases? Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. Men's basketball is slowly fading. I'm not going there yet. This is a very important offseason. The market in men's college basketball players is a complete nightmare. It is pretty nuts. It is really nuts, but and you're right. I mean, there is less competition for high-level players in women's basketball. That is true. Everybody in men's basketball is trying to pay. Everybody. And programs are investing more now in those kind of things. But, I mean, I think it's just 1 year. It is just 1 year. But after the Sweet 16 run, to turn that into winning 12 regular season games and having the portal situation being what it is right now, I don't think anybody would have believed that this would be the current state that they're in. Now they get Pinkins back. That's extremely important, getting him back. Comerdine, I think, is going to be a nice player for them next year if they can get a true point guard. I mean, I think there's a chance James Scott returns. So it's not just about portal. It's if they can retain some guys too. But being in the position that they're in right now is surprising. How do I think baseball will do against Georgia? I think they'll win the series. I do. Don't see how they're not focused for Louisville. Game one at a neutral site versus ranked opponent. Oh, well, the team will be fine. The team will be fine. And especially since they get Charlotte a week later, that certainly helps a lot to kind of settle down and reset before the big weekend. have him muted, but still see things from him from, oh my gosh, can I talk? No, apparently not. I have him muted, but still see things from time to time by Lane. I really think this is going to be a situation for him in his head. Chase Promise talked about this at length. I mean, you saw it with the Saban games, right? When everything was fine, like normal, or the expectations weren't there, he was brilliant. Brilliant. And even this past season, there wasn't any pressure on him because he was leaving. He knew he was, I mean, you guys know this. He knew he was leaving somewhere, was going somewhere long before the season was over. There was no games of pressure. There was no pressure. Doesn't matter if I lose, I'm leaving anyway. 2024, there was a ton of pressure on him in that program. And look what happened. It was a disaster. We called on it at the time. The offense in particular was a disaster all season long. And people will look at the season-long stats. Those are just empty calories. They beat up on the non-conference teams in Vanderbilt. It was an empty calorie season. They are... Did I say... Who was it? Hold on. Arkansas, not Vanderbilt. It was the non-conference games in Arkansas. Every other game offensively, they were not good enough at all. Something was amiss there. I think they take care of Louisville easily. That would be big. It would tell you a lot about the team. What do you think game day is going to do or say that day in the Grove? They could be... That could be bad look and potentially get ugly on live TV. If they do the same stuff that they did at the end of last season in the Grove, yeah, it'll be ugly TV. Saban's not going to get a hero's treatment after the way all that went down if they have game day in the Grove that day. I don't think any of them are really. And, you know, maybe people would have forgotten about it by then, but I don't think so, especially if they talk about it again the way that they did. Talking to somebody yesterday, I don't think people have forgotten about the way that it was really only them, too. That's what's so funny about it. The media narrative, ecosystem, whatever expression you want to use around that was exclusively on the side of Ole Miss, with the exception of people that cover LSU or College game day. Everybody else is like, what the hell is he doing? That's dumb. Yeah, Ole Miss shouldn't let him coach. That's dumb. What are you guys talking about? People that cover LSU and College game day. That's it. And you're going to prop them up on the Grove stage and rehash some of that stuff? I don't think the reception's going to be pretty. Nine and a half seems like the number. I agree. Anything below nine would be a disappointment, barring crazy amount of injuries. If they can't turn it around in basketball next year, do you have any future outlook on how that sport will fare? Oh, well, I don't. As long as Keith Carter's the AD, they'll never stop investing in basketball, but it's gonna be really hard to get fans to give a rip if they can't be competent this year. Who's to say they can't go undefeated? They certainly can. They're talented enough to do it. It's just so hard. I mean, the aforementioned Saban didn't do it that often here. Hold on. I'll tell you how many years. It's just a really, especially with the 9-game conference schedule now. Shout out Greg Sankey for that one. Let's see. Nick Saban and Alabama went undefeated two times. from 2007 to 2023. Nick Saban went undefeated two times. And that was with an 8-game conference schedule. So, put a lot of pressure on himself and his team in the Oklahoma game, like he was panicking. That fourth down call was something. Say he tried to take Pete with him too. Glad he has morals and stayed. I'd be willing to bet he didn't even try to take him because he knew the answer would have been no. I mean, there's no point. It was not happening. So, quite simply, he was the next Florida coach for the last 2 years until LSU made the change. Yeah. It'll be the third game day all time in the Grove. Ole Miss won the first two. Alabama and Texas A&M caught that A&M night. It was so cold. It was cold. It was electric. It was electric in there. And you guys may not remember it. There were far less of you listening to the podcast anyway then than there were now. But I remember after that game, your coach decided to rip on the environment for some reason. And I talked about it. Then at the time, that made no sense at all because that place was nuts. A&M was just, I mean, they were in fits, man. Jimbo had all the play sheets, the 5 dozen play sheets that he had. It was wild. It was freezing cold that day, and it was wild in there. I didn't understand that. That's when it was that the same year of the Tulsa game? I don't know when I caught on to the fan shaming thing, but that game was another one where it was just, what are you doing? Oh, well. Basketball matters, but if you start sucking again for multiple years and all the support will dry up, Beard is fortunate he got that Nashville run, but it has to be better. Yeah, and see, that's like we talked about at the time, that run in Nashville, I mean, it was nice to remind people of what meaningful basketball in March feels like, but it was just empty calories, masking a disaster of a season. If Nick was still coaching, do you think he'd be as successful as previous times? No, I do not. Think an NCAA breakaway is closer to happening in the near future? I agree completely. I agree. John David Baker's a solid hire. I think he'll be great. Especially with the weapons that he's currently got, it certainly helps that when you've got the quarterback and the running back and the receiver room that you have, it's probably easier to call offense. Tulsa was 22 the year after. Okay, so it was the A&M game when it was like, what are you doing? You got college game day. Environment was nuts. You win the game. And you're complaining about fan support after? Whatever. What's Joe's role going to be this year? Still quarterback coach? Yes. Yeah, he is still the quarterback's coach. I think he'll do a lot of like game management type stuff, like what you saw in the playoffs. Like an organizer, if you will. Hottest game you've been to, Tulsa, 100 degrees and sunny. It was brutal. Oh, it was brutal. Horrible football game, too. Just a slog. One of those non-conference slogs that, you know, the home team's winning and they're a lot better, but they're not playing well. And it just, it's the hottest game I've ever been to. I can tell you the coldest game I've ever been to. 2013 Missouri was the coldest game I've been to. And the girl I was talking to at the time, we went to the game together. And of course, I'm already in the Grove. She takes forever and it's freezing. And I tell her the night before and the morning of, it's cold. Like it's really, really cold. Be prepared. It's freaking cold. And the game sucked too. Hold on. Let me pull up the box score. It's Horrible game. Yeah, Missouri won. It was November 23rd, 2013. Missouri won 24-10. Let's see. James Franklin, the quarterback for Missouri, threw for 142 yards and an interception, but they ran for 260. You guys recognize these names at all? Henry Josie and Marcus Murphy? I mean, Bo Wallace threw for 244 and an interception. Itavius Mathers had 66 yards. Jalen Walton had 42 yards. Moncrief went for 115. He was awesome. But anyway, it was a horrible game. And anyway, I tell her, it's cold. It's going to be cold. The game's at night. It's cold. She shows up in a dress, a loose-fitting dress with like no leggings, nothing. That's what she had on. The second we get to the game, and like we're not even, you know, we're not even really dating. We're just in the talking stage. Second we get to the game, we sit down and she looks at me. She's like, I'm cold. Can we go? You can go. No, I'm not going anywhere. And we really stopped talking after that because I would not go with her because I told you. It was going to be cold. You didn't listen. I'm not leaving. I'm staying here. And in hindsight, she was right. I should have left because it was an absolutely awful football game to be in attendance for. But Ole Miss Furman 23 was a 100-year-old rematch. I wonder if there's an old Rebel fan watching that game. I remember that one. My poor Paladins. Looking like Drew Brees tonight. You like, I get that sometimes, and I don't see it. But how do you feel about the offensive line? I don't know yet. I'm concerned about tackle. It doesn't mean they won't be good at tackle. I'm just, there's question marks there. But the interior three are so solid. That helps a ton. Lacey's great in pass pro. That helps a ton. Trinidad, not only do they get the ball out fast, but he is so good in the pocket. I think even if they're not as good as they were at tackle last year, they can just mask it so easily that, you know, the concerns may not be as necessary. But at the present, that's the position that I'm most concerned, air quotes, about. Oh, we heard that the 2013 Egg Bowl was miserable, both weather and on the field. Hold on. I got to look at a box score. Was that the Bo Wallace fumble game? Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was. Okay, let's see. Gosh, he threw for 182. Dak Prescott was hurt that night, wasn't he? Yeah, because Damian Williams played. Ole Miss averaged 3 yards per carry. State, 2 yards per carry. It was 10-10 going into overtime. God. Ole Miss finished 7-5 that year. Then it went to Nashville, right? So that was, yeah, 20. It was Birmingham, Nashville, Atlanta, New Orleans, the 4 years. So they went to Nashville. And played a miserably cold Music City Bowl against Georgia Tech. '22 Egg Bowl in the rain was also terrible. Another bad game. There's a lot of bad games. Man. It's funny how of all the success that Ole Miss has had and all the great games that they've had over the years, the thing that triggers your memory most is the bad weather and the horrible games. Maybe that says something about us. Probably does. No, you shouldn't have left on principle. Teacher, she can't always get her way. Bad way to start. Oh, I didn't leave. I didn't. And we didn't go anywhere. So I guess everything works out for a reason, doesn't it? Was at the 45-0 Egg Bowl in 08, I think it was pouring rain. Yeah, that box score is a fun one. 45-0 Ole Miss beat Mississippi State. And it's the sack numbers that are, what was it? Hold on. Oh, they don't have it on ESPN. Maybe team stats. Ah, they don't. But State ran for negative 64 yards, negative 2.4 yards per carry. It doesn't have, I forget the exact sack number. One of you guys would know the exact number of sacks, but it was like 13, right? Or 12? Three quarterbacks played for State. Tyson Lee went 5 for 9. Wesley Carroll went 3 for 12. Chris Relf went 2 for 8. Almost ran for 220 yards. Goodness. That's 13 sacks. Okay. That's insane. The highlights are so funny. You couldn't have a more overmatched team in an SEC game than that one. Tyson Lee coached you when you were a kid. How old are you, Benny? I don't know. I tabbed you as a little bit older. Maybe it's a me problem. The State player shattered his leg that day, screamed so loud it was echoing, dead quiet crowd. Oh, Benny, we're the same age, 34. 34 feels like 54, doesn't it, brother? Goodness. Got a sore back. I don't know why. Didn't do anything to it. It's just I slept funny last night, I guess. I don't know. I said I wasn't going to go long, and here we are past 45 minutes. I appreciate you guys very much. As always, we'll be live regular time on Tuesday and then again Thursday after the first round of the draft ends. I will also have like the Ole Miss draft guide from my guy Rob Paul as well uploaded on the feed this week. So be on the lookout for that. Really appreciate you guys, and I will see you on Tuesday night. Thank you.
A SuperTalk Mississippi Media Production.